You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoff. We're talking about the state of medicine in the U.S. and in light, especially of a recent conference, which was held, it was actually a Senate hearing in the chronic disease epidemic held earlier this week. It says Monday, September 23, when it was held. I really urge you, if you can find the YouTube for that, to spend a couple of hours listening to the testimony there, because it was very, very compelling. But I'm going to say that, you know, while you, Alex Lebarski, and I were excited and exalted at this platforming of very, very important health information before the American public in Congress, a lot of people weren't so happy. So, for example, here's an article in The Atlantic, and I'm quoting here, headline, "The Woo-Woo Caucus Meets, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Appearance at a, quote, health and nutrition event." These are Dr. Evil quotes, sarcastic quotes, hosted by a Trump ally. Oh, somehow we brought in Donald Trump, because right there, that's the cross to the vampire. By invoking Donald Trump, an event hosted by a Trump ally showcased a congruence of crunchy and cranky. it's not all, it's not all rave reviews. Here's another one. On Monday, Ron Johnson used her tax dollars to host anti-science personalities to parrot lies to Congress, claiming to be advocating for, quote, health and nutrition. So there you have it. I mean, there's a lot of people who are really ticked off by this, and they think that this is a platform of misinformation and disinformation. What do you say?
Well, our food industry is $6 trillion a year. Our medical industry is about to hit $5 trillion a year. So what a trillion in profits in this model. And, you wouldn't put it past them to do whatever is necessary to keep things the way they are.
Yeah, they're not going to roll over.
There's a couple of problems with that. First is we're running out of money. And second, we're running out of healthy people. So we cannot be a nation without money, without people. So these people who came out there, like, first of all, I find it very interesting. Not a lot of media covered the event.
But yeah, there was like a media blackout on it. There was some coverage on Fox, but then again, that's political because, you know, they said, well, Rod Johnson, he's our GOP buddy. So, you know, we're a little bit more open-minded to this since it comes from our side of the aisle, right? So you could predict that Fox is going to be, and by the way, an RFK now, because he's endorsed Trump, he's become kind of a hero to the right all of a sudden. So yeah, they're going to be more open to him.
You know, he to me because of his view on health. You should see him. You know, I took a picture with him.
By the way, that's a great picture. You know, when I saw that, I said, Alex, score, because you got a picture right next to the top advocate for health in the United States these days.
Well, you know, you see him on TV. He looks good, but yeah, standing still, the guy's all muscle. Lean, the man is 70 years old.
Yeah, I know. He's like my age.
You're also, you're very fit. And I think that's possible for people to be like that in their 70s, 80s, and 90s to fit and play out.
He could bang out like 60 push-ups. I mean,
he's a role model in that. I don't, you know, his politics and, you know, what, how he feels about other things, I don't really care. But the fact that he kind of launched this Make America Healthy Again movement, he's a true inspiration to me. Whatever else he does, I don't really care.
Hey, by the way, good personal parenting, because he's hated and reviled by his former party. He's hated and reviled even by his family members. He's been ostracized.
The Kennedys mostly are part of that party, and that party is hateful. They love to hate. You know, I experienced it personally after the whole COVID fiasco. I had a conference planned for May 3rd. And
no, because but just to put it in perspective, you were a bit of a vaccine skeptic and a COVID lockdown skeptic, and you were early to criticize the party line about COVID.
Yeah, I'm a big medicine skeptic, because when I came to medicine, I came very open-minded. I came very trusting.
Mm-hmm.
And they disappointed me, misled me, insulted my intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I can't forgive that. So when they started pushing this stuff, it was obvious to me that this is another nonsensical, on top of nonsense.
Right.
But anyway, I had this conference planned for May 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that it was...
Because that's what you do. You organize conferences. You bring together health experts locally and nationally. Right.
So we had 80 doctors flying from around the country to this event. 150 exhibitors. We had thousands of people that were going to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this for 15 years. And that was my passion.
Yep.
So then we, flattened the curve 2 weeks. This was in March. So I work in flattening the curve for 2 weeks. So I'll do my marketing from home. I don't need to leave. And then I'll get back to producing this event. Well, you know how that ended up. So anyway, I was posting little things online, about masks and about vaccines, and, little things that made sense to me. Not anything controversial, I thought. Randy vitriol, the attack.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Personal attacks. We had the women posting, some of the women were posting, in support. Yeah, Alex, that's true. There were guys who were attacking them about the way they look, it was just vicious, ugly, and pretty much only from that side. It's unbelievable. So that opened my eyes. Like, my eyes have never been so open before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a clarifying moment for many of us, to see, where, the establishment was so intent on defending itself that it went way overboard in terms of characterizing things as disinformation, misinformation, arguing for censorship, cancellation, deplatforming people, all that stuff. And, I personally encountered some of that myself.
Sure.
Having said something about natural therapies for COVID, which is quite plausible, talking about, because it's really a strong history of nutritional supplements that support respiratory infections. I was attacked by the Federal Trade Commission, as a COVID quack. This was, I think, a very clarifying moment for us, because we saw that our government, our health authorities, were really not on our side, that they had already sold out to an establishment that consists of pharmaceutical companies, the medical orthodoxy, and food and chemical manufacturers, who don't want this information to air. They call this disinformation.
Well, they were able to do it better before, when we were limited in how we could communicate with people.
Yep.
They're less able to do it now, because now that after this event in Washington, D.C., all the speakers are all over the internet.
Yeah.
So you like them, you don't like them, it doesn't matter. They're still going to be out there, and people who are, open-minded enough, and they're not brainwashed sheep, they see the information and they can make up their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that profit from the industry as it is, they have very little incentive to see a different perspective. So they're going to keep doing what they've been doing all for the last 20 years that I've been in this industry, is attack, put down, call people quacks, But it's interesting how quickly they replied. You know, like they came up with, they're telling lies. Really? What are the lies?
Right.
Is it a lie that our children are the sickest that they've been like in the history of this country? Obesity and people are overweight. That 75% of the country, is that a lie? Our food is poisoned with chemicals compared to food in other countries. The same brands. Is that a lie? Like, where are the lies? So you know what? It's just. But the problem is that you know the people that don't. They haven't been in the industry like you and I for as many years as you have been, the years I've been. It's a little bit difficult for them to see where the truth and the lies are because they're so like blatantly convinced based on nothing. But they have the microphone still and they have the attention of these masses to promulgate it.
Yeah, I had a feeling that we need to look beyond presidential politics and even elections. To keep this movement sustained, because regardless of the outcome, and the outcome currently is up in the air, I don't think one party or another is going to provide a solution. I think a solution is going to come from the grassroots, people voting with their feet, people voting with their refusal to participate in some of the excesses of mainstream medicine and their refusal to consume a diet which is highly adulterated. And making informed choices on their own behalf.
Well, yes, but it would help if they can help disassemble all of these bureaucracies from the government to the collusion between the food company and the medical companies and the pharmaceutical companies, because they have a lot of power to influence people who are spending all time in front of their devices and television sets.
I think that was part of the appeal of RFK's analysis is that he has a pretty good analysis of how there's kind of an interlocking directorate of industry, medicine, the media, to perpetuate the current system and also influence legislators, because look at the records of most legislators on both sides of the aisle. They're on the take. And they have a vested interest in perpetuating the status quo because it's lucrative for them and it keeps them in office.
Yep.
Yeah, you have nothing to say to that. So to say a couple of other quotes that I picked up from this conference. When we talk about, I think you'll like this one. We talk about disinformation and misinformation. How many times have we heard that term, misinformation and disinformation? I mean, there are actually still people who believe that we have not cracked down on misinformation and disinformation. For example, Peter Hotez, who's a big proponent of vaccines, is saying, you know that guy? He said, this is what he says. He just right after the conference, he posted this on X. He says, I'm concerned the health disinformation empire to which we both belong. We belong to the health disinformation empire. It's an empire, has begun accelerating with this new RFK Jr. GOP partnership. Also worried about the muted invisible response from our US HHS agencies, health professional societies, academic health centers. What he's implicitly saying is that they shouldn't just let this heresy be broadcast over the airways. We need to throttle it down. We need to quash it. We need to not allow it to be promulgated. But this is what Marty McCary says. This is a great statement. He says, the greatest perpetrator of misinformation has been the United States government with the food pyramid. Yep. That's a pithy statement because that actually has influenced our health in very profound ways. It's responsible for food programs. It's responsible for the food that's offered in hospitals and then the military. So many Americans are influenced by the recommendations of the United States government when it comes to diet. And yet they've been betrayed by those recommendations because our health has been undermined during the reign of the so-called food pyramid, which has now evolved into MyPlate, which is a slight reform or mild modification of that. But essentially, It demonizes fats, and it exalts grains and carbohydrates and starches at the base of the pyramid.
No, I mean, it's a criminal enterprise, and the lobbyists got involved in the food pyramid. Maybe they had other ideas when they first started. Maybe they had the best intentions. But by the time they got done, that's what they got.
Well, a high percentage of the people who were actually on the advisory committee that sets the food pyramid had industry ties.
Yeah, that's
through grants, through sometimes actual fees. So they do not want to bite the hand that feeds them.
They have conflict of interest, and they're all happy to be a part of it. Nobody recuses themselves, and they just do what they think is best for them.
So. Right. And so what amuses me is that throughout this COVID, COVID, I think, brought this to a head. And how many times have you heard this said, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science.
Trust the science. That was my favorite. Trust the science.
And trust the science, trust the science. And, but Marty McCary says, and I'm quoting, the purpose of science is to challenge deeply held assumptions. And I think that that is the spirit of true science, is to examine our assumptions, especially where they're not yielding positive results, and to say, maybe we've taken a wrong turn. Maybe we should reevaluate. I mean, look, that's happened from the time of, Galileo and Copernicus. People who really were considered heretics have suffered because of this. Semmelweis, who argued for hand washing, was consigned to an insane asylum because they thought his idea was so bizarre.
You guys will treat your heretics nicely.
We crack down on people who dissent. We police our medical orthodoxy very well. We have for a long time. But, I think it really is time to get past ideology. And, I'm disappointed that this has boiled down into, kind of a left-right argument. Because as you said, I have a lot of respect for my followers who have, a leftist orientation or a liberal orientation. Because they're the very people who used to be so concerned about the environment, about clean and green, and let's make sure that there's proper environmental regulation so that we have safety, and that we're not exposed to horrendous ingredients and horrendous environmental toxins, air pollution, water pollution, and so on. But where have they gone in this argument?
When I first started doing this over 20 years ago, and I was going to conferences, Expo East, Expo West, all the health fairs, New Life Expo. It was all hippies. Like, real hippies. I showed up there looking like, I wear a jacket and a shirt and a tie. I look like a banker in that arena. People are walking in moccasins, in shorts, the hair, long tattoos.
Very granola, tie-dye t-shirts.
Very granola. Yeah. They're drinking wheatgrass shot. So this was the real deal back in the day. And now they're all pro the war in Ukraine. They want to send missiles to Ukraine. It's like,
right.
So bizarre. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. It is strange how politics have suborned the agendas of some people. And I think, the green movement has gone awry is that there's too much of an emphasis on measures to reduce, and it should be done. I mean, to reduce, fracking, reduce petroleum production, but with kind of a wrong emphasis, because the emphasis is on building windmills, which in fact are highly dangerous to wildlife, require tremendous resources, electric vehicles, which are, presumably put at less in a way of exhaust, but are very energy intensive in terms of the production, involve pit mining in distant parts of the world where child labor is very, very prominent, to find the rare earth minerals, the cobalt, the lithium, that power these vehicles. And it's almost like, we've lost focus on what our ultimate goals are, which are to preserve the planet and to support our body. So I think part of that agenda is from the medical journals that I read is to urge everybody to go towards a plant-based diet because of the supposed contribution of animal emissions to methane in the atmosphere and how energy-intensive livestock farming is. At the price of what? Of human health, you know, when it comes to the Impossible Burger or some of these faux meat products that they're trying to cram down our throats. Is this progress or is this just using greenwashing to promote a profitable agenda?
When I had an auto repair shop, it was back in the late
80s. You've done a lot of things.
West 40s, it was on 7th Avenue South and Carmine Street in the West Village.
Okay.
About the 8
my,
years.
My old haunts.
When I first started, a lot of the cars that came in, they had regular, like, full-barrel carburetors.
Mm-hmm.
Those things used to suck gas like you can't imagine. You
know, right.
It's the gallon or something. And then some entrepreneur genius created fuel injection.
Okay.
And virtually double our resources of fuel.
Yep.
Because it was so precise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is about humans, especially here in the United States, is they're very innovative. They're very creative. And eventually they will come up with systems and ideas and concepts that will work. But turning off what's working today to build these ridiculous windmills that are costing so much in resources and relative to the production.
And offshoring them, you know, killing the marine mammals, you know, just really all kinds of unforeseen consequences.
The fact that the government wants to force this on the public, letting natural evolution of this industry to take hold and create these things, they want to force it down our throats and turn off the gas immediately. So we have to buy electric cars and because they know best. It's just this bizarre top-down social communist philosophy that I can't stand. I was born in that. And so
you originated from Kyiv, right? This is your birthplace?
I was born in Moscow.
In Moscow. Goodness gracious. Okay. But I thought you were Ukrainian.
My wife is Ukrainian. I was born in Russia.
So,
Russia back then.
So you've experienced the benefits of socialism under the regime in Russia, and
the soul stealing benefits of the Soviet philosophy is good.
Right. I just want speaking of the elite dictating our policies. Recently, a guy named Jay Varma. Remember Jay Varma? Jay Varma, because you were in New York. Jay Varma was the guy who was the COVID response guy in New York. So he was the guy who told us to lock down, to stay home, close the restaurants. You couldn't go out. You couldn't go to a gym, close the gyms. Couldn't, even go to your office. Everything became,
3 years. But 3 years they closed down.
Yeah, completely. And he spearheaded that. And then there was a revelation where he kind of got punked.
Yeah.
I think he got baited by an attractive female who, he sat down with her, had a few drinks, and she had a concealed camera.
Females.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got to watch out for those intrepid, attractive female journalists who can get you to loosen your tongue and sometimes disclose some things that maybe shouldn't be aired. Well, anyway, he disclosed that, I don't know, maybe he's braggy. He said, hey, during lockdown, I needed to blow off steam. I had to, I went to some sex parties. We went to some private dance parties. And so that all got exposed. So it really is an example of, do as I say, not as I do. As a consequence, he was fired from his $1.5 million per year job promoting
$5 million per year.
Yeah, he was working for an outfit that made supposed medications to protect us from bioterrorism. One of them was a monkeypox drug that is a dubious efficacy. But hey, it's not important whether the drug works. It's important when you have a fixer working for you. You pay him $1.5 million. He's got a lot of connections, and he can go to all the different governments and sell them on your company's products. But you know, his value was shot after it was revealed that he was an utter hypocrite, so they fired him.
Well, first of all, I lived in Europe for now 45 years, and I've never been invited to a sex party. First off,
didn't you need to blow off steam during COVID? I sure need to blow off steam.
I had to hold on to all of my steam.
Right.
And then, you know, it's bureaucrats like this that get into they love the government. This cesspool. They love it because they can get in there and do pretty much whatever they want. They can't get fired unless, you know, they're...
Wait. Does this remind you of Moscow with any ways?
Well, in Russia, in the Soviet Union, everybody worked for the government.
Okay.
So it was the same thing. And people were creative, like my father, tried to circumvent some of the systems.
But he had to leave because they cracked down on his entrepreneurial
career. Run.
Yeah.
Run.
But, you know, that kind of is the way in some of these countries, is that the people who lord it over the general populace, they're the ones who have the dachas, am I pronouncing it correctly?
Dachas
with these beautiful country homes, you know, where you can get away from the dirt and grime of the city, summer homes. And they're, you know, officials of the various bureaucratic agencies that govern people's lives.
Well, in the socialist paradise, they pay everybody at the level where you can just starve to death. So unless you're doing something creepy,
okay,
you're not going to make it. And then you're a criminal. So if you're a criminal, they can do whatever they want to you. So that's the system there. So eventually they come to you and they're like, you're guilty of something. We know what it is. Now we got to find it. Right. Give me a man, find you the crime.
Right.
Yeah. And the same thing here now, you know, it's like, give me a man and I'll find you the disease that we can manage with medication.
Well, actually, you know, more to the point is there is a lot of political prosecution in this country that is, I think, directed by certain parties towards one another, you know, it's kind of a back and forth. Okay. So, without taking an extreme partisan perspective on this, where do you think that this is going? I mean, what are your plans in terms of getting the word out? Because you're a great communicator. What's on the launch pad for Alex Zamarski?
The one thing I'm doing right now is I have an event coming up with Naomi Wolf. I don't know if you've heard of
her. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. I actually know her family. I know her. Do you know that her father, whose name is Professor Wolf, this is a little bit of a factoid, that he is from Romania, and he's an expert on Transylvania, and he was actually a consultant on many of the Dracula movies.
Oh, where?
Because he's a scholar. He's also a Yiddish scholar. Wow. And he translated Isaac Bashevis Singer. So he's a very distinguished academic. He's since passed, but I knew the family 40 years ago.
Very interesting.
Anyway, so you're gonna platform her. What is she going to talk about?
My goal is now to create these more private events in like the most interesting people. We can talk about our healthcare system. Talk about you know me, Park. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah.
She was the North Korean.
Oh yes, yes.
Like people of that caliber, I want to bring Kaylee Means, and I want to do events with remarkable people so we can explain to everyone the problem with our system of healthcare and help design a new model. So hopefully going into this new election and this new mindset and these new leaders, we can create a system that's a lot more logical, gets rid of all the bureaucracy between the client and their doctor. It's an ongoing relationship where the doctor's job is not to find symptoms, but to make sure the body's optimized, so symptoms never appear, and people can live longer, healthier lives. And then, you know, I have my book that's coming out now. I have the first order of books coming in about maybe 10 days or so.
So the book can be pre-ordered. It's called...
You can already order it on Amazon.
Youthful Longevity.
It's Youthful Longevity, While Living to 100 Vibrant, Productive, and Fulfilling Years is Your Birthright and Mandate by Alex Lubarsky.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wrote it with a couple of my doctors. So it's I think it's a great story. And I cover, you know, my experience growing up in the Soviet Union, coming to America, getting involved in the healthcare industry, which turned out to be a different form of Soviet Union, and all the things that I've experienced with my own health, trying to fix it within that system, then getting involved with, you know, functional holistic medicine and my journey there. So this has been a long journey here, and all kind of coming together with this event in Washington. It was, you know.
I think the key theme here is health freedom, you know, and I think a lot of people are pro-choice when it comes to, you know, women's right to reproductive freedom. But I think that it extends to more control over our bodies when it comes to healthcare options and healthcare choices. And I'm a big fan of that theme. And it sounds like you, with your political orientation and your orientation towards natural solutions, are a big proponent of health. It's this notion of health freedom.
Yeah. I think, you know, if we just get the government out of healthcare, we can have more health freedom. You know, individuals, we have to imbue individuals with the personal responsibility for their own health. I think we lost that somewhere along the way, because people are walking around thinking that they can do whatever they want. They can eat whatever they want. They can need sedentary lifestyle, never exercise. And then once they get sick, then the insurance company and the medical system is going to save them, which is such an absurd backward ideology that I don't have words to express.
I think we need to you know, kind of balance it, because there's this notion of moral hazard. And, you know, if there are no consequences to your actions, I mean, yes, there's the misery of being sick and having your lifespan curtailed. But when there are no hazards, when you don't have any skin in the game in terms of participating in the cost of taking care of you if you engage in unhealthy habits, then I think, you know, we lose something. Now, unfortunately, some of the problems that people encounter are accidental or genetic, you know, unforeseen problems that people develop, you know, like people born with sickle cell disease, you know, and they suffer miserably. So they often are unable to work. They come from poor backgrounds. They need to be helped. So, you know, we need it like a balance. You know, as you say, it really is a dilemma, because if we have a fully subsidized healthcare system where we give people weight loss drugs, as is proposed now, for free, what does it say about our society that on the one hand, you know, people are making themselves sick with horrible lifestyle habits, diets, and absence of exercise, and they're relying on free medications to offset that? I think it's a problem.
Yeah, medications of questionable efficacy and of questionable
safety.
Yeah, and technically, I mean, from what I've learned about Ozempic, it's not a pretty long term solution.
Right. No, for sure. I mean, and there are downsides. So, okay, great stuff, Alex. Keep up the great work. You're one of the good guys. You're a stalwart in this field, and I'm going to keep following your all the great things that you do, and helping you get the word out. So I appreciate it very much. You have a website. What's your website?
It's showinc.com, Science of Human Optimization, Inc.com, SCHOINC.com.
SCHOINC.
That's
it. Okay, great. Thanks very much for joining us.
I want to say that you were the first people who inspired me. I saw you speak at a Marriott on Long Island.
Oh, wow. Okay.
20 years ago, full room of people.
Oh, that's great.
You were talking about the top 10 vitamins you recommend that year or something.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. It was one of the things that really like motivated me to pursue this kind of care. So I appreciate you, and I thank you for allowing me to be here with you. And I hope we can do it again another time.
Well, indeed, you know, that's great to hear because, you know, I think as I get a little older, I'm thinking about legacy, and it's just really gratifying to know that people are picking up the torch. And long after my voice is silenced, the movement will live on. And, you know, and little did I dream, 45 years ago when I launched my medical career, that this would be so front and center and really at the apex of American politics. And yeah, it's become an issue. Make America healthy again.
Amen.
Yeah, regardless of which party you belong to, I don't think you can quarrel with that message. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, Alex Lebarski, for joining us. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.